Oh yeah, what's up, Man vs. Filmers? Welcome to the Man vs. Film Podcast, presented by LouisvillePod.com and TheRealScoop.com. All of us here at Man vs. Film would like to thank you for tuning into our podcast, as well as inform you that Man vs. Film most likely will contain adult language and content. Listener discretion advised. Now join me in welcoming your hosts for Man vs. Film, Chris King and Josh Lauber.
Yeah.
Are my breasts too small?
Was your daddy?
Sometimes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Man vs. Film Podcast. I'm your host, Chris King. My longtime partner in crime, Josh Lauber, sitting next to me.
Hey.
BK behind the glass.
What's going on, fellas?
And again, from time to time in this episode, Taylor Satterley is going to be back with us from last week, hanging out, sitting out. Hanging, chilling at the Man vs. Film studio.
Balls deep.
He's balls deep in the Man vs. Film studio. Thank you guys very much for listening and downloading. We are the Man vs. Film podcast, always presented by LouisvillePod.com and TheRealScoop.com. Real.
Real up in this bitch.
There's a dash in there somewhere, too.
For real.
So what's up, fellas? How we feeling?
Feeling great. Feeling grand. Feeling wonderful.
Feeling good. Feeling great.
Great. How grand. Wonderful.
That's what I meant to do, but I totally fucked up.
I figured.
Okay, thanks for recovering for me.
That just made me think of Chris Farley.
Yeah,
No yelling on the bus from Billy Madison.
In a van down by the river.
That's what I was thinking. All right, well,
no yelling on the bus.
No yelling on the
bus. No yelling on the bus!
Precious kids.
Damn, field trip.
Well, anyway, guys, just to let you know... So The Dark Knight Rises, we had a Batman podcast about that last week.
Very
all
good.
Decked out in black and gold, not like the Steelers.
No.
Like gold dust.
No. Or the Pirates.
But there's no
the
gold
penguins.
In the Nolan trilogy, man.
Have you
He's
noticed...
kind of gotten away from the whole Batman name.
Hold on, have you noticed that all the Pittsburgh professional teams are all gold and black? Black and gold?
Really?
I just realized that the other
black
day.
The Sixers?
Black and gold, black
well,
and gold.
Okay, all the ones that... Okay,
oh,
well,
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Oh,
not Philadelphia.
Oh. I feel it, my bad.
For the
you even got me for a second.
Yeah.
So the Pittsburgh Pirates, gold
Pirates.
And black.
Yeah.
Penguins, black and gold.
Oh, Pirates. Pirates are doing very well this year.
Yeah, they are. I don't
That's
watch
surprising.
Baseball. It
well,
sucks,
they're in second place.
Yeah.
And they've had a losing season for the like last 17 years or something like that.
Oh, God, they're awful.
Yeah.
But yeah. But
yeah, black and gold, yeah.
So just like Batman wears. So Batman premiered, and well, we haven't seen it yet, but we have. We're recording this episode a little bit early so we can bring it to you because I will be on vacation next week in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, as you losers will be hanging out here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hold on a second. Are we going back to the future right now?
Oh, my
oh,
God.
Shit.
Is that what we're doing, or am I
Great
just
Scott!
Wanting to do that?
I think you're just wanting to do that, as am I.
Wait.
Actually, you get me really excited.
Hold on a second. Let's just think about stuff.
With
right
your
now.
High top Nikes.
Okay.
We're doing this now. But we're not here right now, right?
What will we do? What will we be doing?
Are we here right now, or are we here next week?
Man, you're just blowing my mind, dude. I don't know, but I wish I could understand what you're talking about. I'd love to be able to go back to the future.
We'll think about it later. We'll
back
think
to
about
the
it
future
later.
Is a really confusing title.
On your vacation, think about this, and that's it.
Okay.
Don't have any fun. Just think about this.
I will be thinking about you guys and missing you guys while I'm sitting in in the ocean or the swim-up bar.
If you do, you're a fool.
Excuse me. I gotta drink some some Coors Light to recover from my dry throat syndrome.
Coors Original,
or
to be
2012.
In fact, exact.
Coors Original, that's right. I don't drink Coors Light. That's piss water.
I got the King of Beers in my hand, brother.
Holiday World.
That's right.
What are we listening to here? That's Huey
back
Lewis.
In time.
Back
oh,
in time.
Oh, this is Back in Time. Okay. Sorry, my brain was
our
rattled.
Good friend Aaron Oates' second or number one pick for songs from a movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's drunk somewhere. That's probably why he's not here. Sorry, I was just kidding. All right, so actually, what Josh was talking about earlier is we're not really here, but we are here. So this is our intro, but we're going to kick it over to BK and Hopefully Josh is there too, as they talk about this week's box office.
Whoa.
BK?
Taylor?
What's happening?
I think we're going
back to the future.
Dude, Josh, are you okay?
I think so.
Taylor?
What's going on?
Wait, check your jewels. Do you have your jewels?
I got both of them.
Holy shit. That was a wild trip, man.
That was crazy.
That was definitely...
Dude, I can't believe we just did that.
I didn't know playing Huey Lewis back in time would do that.
Holy crap. Oh, wow. That was awesome. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Good job,
that was
absolutely.
Fun. We went back to the future.
We should do that again sometime.
I'm down.
Hey, yeah, I'm down.
So what did Chris want us to talk about? That was like,
I don't know.
A week ago.
I'm so tripped out by what just happened. Fuck, what was it? Oh, it was a...
Box office.
Wait, yeah,
Man vs. Box Office.
Yes. So it was a huge weekend.
Yes.
But taking a back seat to... a huge tragedy.
Yes, Josh. Unfortunately, we had some sad news this past week. Everybody has heard. I mean, it's been all over the news about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado. Allegedly, James Holmes, who is still being tried currently, entered a sold-out theater in Aurora for The Dark Knight Rises and took the lives of innocent people. The last I heard was there was 12 that were killed, 58 that were injured, and it's just one of those things where we have to take a minute. It's one of those tragedies, and even though we're not there, you know, we're not in that state, we're not in that city, we want to take a minute and just give our condolences and give our thoughts and our prayers and let everyone there know that we're praying for the victims, the family, the friends, and that entire community here at Members Film. All of us are keeping all of you in our prayers and thoughts. And it's not an easy time, but we're going to make the best of it. You know, make some changes. Some good will come out of this.
Our thoughts here we're just shocked, like baffled. Everybody else is.
Yeah, it's... It is an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, a guy on paper as smart as this guy is, and you know, from families and friends, they've said, oh, you know, I'm so surprised that he did this. Well, that's how it always happens,
you
know?
Yeah, it really does.
When events like this occur, the family and friends never can believe it's happened to their friend or their family member.
Yeah.
But evidently something was wrong with him. He had a vendetta against the world for something. I really have no idea.
I don't think anybody really knows, you know, quite yet. Because I know he was in court today, and he didn't speak a word. Even though when the judge was talking to him. But I know they're going to reopen this case again, or, you know, bring it back to court on Wednesday. And hopefully they can get some answers as to why or his motive. But I think a person...
Hopefully.
I think a person like this, they're just messed
just
up.
Go crazy.
And unfortunately it happened. But again, we just want to give our thoughts and our prayers over to everyone in Aurora that are affected by this.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep you guys up to date. I know everybody's kind of watching the news, but you know, we'll give our thoughts about it. And but Man vs. Film must continue.
On a lighter note,
yes.
More positive note.
We're going to continue the show, obviously, for everybody out there. And Josh is going to click his pen a second time. There it is.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't mean to do that.
He was like, oh, it's stuck. I can't unclick it.
Oh, well.
So
I did it.
How were the numbers this weekend, Josh? Help us out.
The numbers were juggernaut-like, but they weren't as big as industry expectations. I feel 100% that this incident that happened in Colorado extremely affected the numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
I was estimating around 190 to 200. You know, it was in the second most theaters of any movie in history.
Wow.
So I was expecting it to get right up close to the Avengers, but no doubt this tragedy affected its numbers.
Yeah.
I saw it in one of the biggest theaters in Louisville, Kentucky, and it wasn't even hardly... There was a lot of people in it, but it
wasn't sold out or anything.
No. And it was on the day it came out at noon. You know, people are going to go see it. But yeah, The Dark Knight Rises, it grossed $160 million, beating The Dark Knight by a couple million. I actually got to see The Dark Knight, as I just said. I thought it was really well done. The first hour or so, I kind of thought it was shoddy. I was sitting there thinking, this movie is garbage.
Right.
What the hell is going on? And then as it gradually went into the last act, it got better and better. And the last 45 minutes are just plain epic.
It didn't fail.
No, the last act did not fail.
Okay, good.
The very, very, very end, there's a whole bunch of scrutiny from people, and then there's a whole lot of praise from people. Like, people are loving it, people are hating it. There's a lot of questions about it. We'll leave it up to you all to decide what really happened at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. But it's not even close to The Dark Knight.
Okay. That's good.
You know,
I think that was kind of to be expected, too. It's hard to follow, I mean, such a good cast, such a good, you know, performance, not to mention Heath Ledger, I mean, adding such a good role to that. I mean, you would definitely say that the first hour, you know, wasn't as where you thought it would be, I guess, but you're glad you stayed there because the end made up for it.
Oh, yeah. So, there was no doubt in my mind I wasn't going to walk out.
Right.
But I just wish the first act was a lot better.
Right.
I've
heard that already from some other critics, too, so they're in agreement with you on that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt really took the movie and ran with it, in my opinion. His rookie officer, Detective John Blake, was absolutely phenomenal. He shined during some of the slower scenes when they're doing the dialogue and building up the plot. He was gritty when he had to. He was kind of like a hero.
Right.
When Batman wasn't the hero, or when somebody else wasn't stepping up, you know. They could make a whole other series of, like, John Blake movies starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I would definitely go see it. He just totally kicked ass.
Good.
Anne Hathaway was great as Catwoman, although not Michelle Pfeiffer type. I thought Tom Hardy was really good at Bane. At first, he kind of sounded like Sean Connery.
I remember you saying that.
But as the movie went on, I kind of got to understand more of what he was saying. It's tough, you know, when you have a mask on.
Oh, sure.
To act like that, but the emotions he used through his eyes and his actions that he had with his arms and his legs and
it's much more difficult
his head and everything else but his mouth.
Right.
Tom Hardy did a really, really good job at bringing the daunting task of the menacing Bane to the big screen.
Well, that
was a lot better than that fucker did in Batman and Robin.
Oh, for sure.
That was awful.
Well, I see that, too. You know, it's much more difficult to sell a character when they can't see your mouth.
He was
just
big.
Where you can't smile, you can't frown, but you have to sell it through the rest of your face and expressions. Mm-hmm.
He's done a great job of doing that.
Awesome.
And he's just, as far as like a human villain goes, I'd say he's one of the most ruthless human villains that the cinema's ever seen.
Wow, that's saying something.
I mean, he didn't like go out and just like murder people like at random.
Right.
But like what he did and the calmness about him, he was very patient. He knew what he wanted. And when he wanted to do something, he fucking did.
Got it done, didn't he?
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, or if you have seen it, you know exactly what the hell I'm talking about.
Right. I haven't seen it yet. It actually did kind of cross my mind this weekend to go see it, but... I was kind of one of those numbers that didn't show up in there because of the tragedy, and it kind of pushed me away a little bit just to kind of step back and, you know, stuff like this happens and you just kind of have to take a step back and just take a, you know, a breather and, you know, process it and, you know, go from there. So I'm definitely going to go see it. I'm glad to, you know, hear your review as well before I go and see it, and you know I'm looking forward to hear what Chris thinks. In case while he's on vacation, he goes and gets to see it. But what about the rest of the top five? How did Ted do? Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, the rest of the top five is kind of like the top five of last week, but just bring it down one notch.
Okay, Ice Age.
Ice Age was second. As expected, pretty much all of the movies in the rest of the top five and top ten dropped more than 50%.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Ice Age dropped about 55%, I believe, to 20 million. Yeah. Spidey took a huge hit.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, well, it's
68%.
Yeah, it's a...
10 million.
A Dude, rival grief. Comic book hero movie from a rival studio, a rival comic book
company.
Enterprise.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that tumbled, what, 70% you just said?
68.
Yeah, to $10 million. Ted had its biggest drop, but still $10 million. Yeah. Congratulations to Brave, rounding at the top five.
It
crossed 200 million. I think every Pixar movie but two has grossed over $200 million now.
Yeah,
that's pretty fucking impressive.
The kids, man, the kids keep bringing the money.
That's pretty awesome. Not gonna lie,
I do. Well, actually, the first Toy Story did like 190, I believe.
Wow.
Then A Bug's Life did around 160. I think Cars 2. Did around 160 or so last year.
Okay.
Because I heard that was just awful.
Right.
I am a fan of Pixar, not going to lie.
Yeah, I love
movies.
I wish we all could be in a Pixar movie.
I want to be. I'll do a voiceover. Why not?
I love, you know, what? Maybe sometime in the future where we just were or we are now.
Wherever it is.
From wherever.
I can't remember.
We should do like a list of our favorite voiceover actors or.
Why not?
Performances of actors who aren't really there and are voicing cartoons.
That did or is going to do wherever
or
we are.
It's been something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your box office. Thanks again, Josh. Woot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
As always. But we got to be getting back to where Chris is right now because we got to finish the rest of the show.
Fuck yeah, man. We got to finish it.
All right. You ready for this? Hold on.
Let's do it. Hold on to your butts.
Let's go.
Okay, we are back. Thanks, BK and Josh, for handling business.
That's what we do.
Well, we're out of town. That seemed like a quick week. Yeah, never mind. You don't even get my joke.
Oh, yeah, of course. Because
we're back all together.
We are.
We're back!
Oh, hey! Because we were all here together, and then we weren't, and now I'm back with you guys. So that was a week gone by. It was a fun vacation.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Back to the past.
I'm sure you did.
Sorry, I'm just still thinking about The Dark Knight Rises. I don't, yeah.
Oh, but that means we all saw it now, since we're
already
back together. But I can't talk about it, because I really haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a great movie.
This is going to be a weird show, guys. Sorry. So we're going to just jump right into things now that we're back from hearing about the box office and give you our Netpicks Flicks of the Week. And this is where we share with you everything we've seen on Netflix in the last week. And yes, I said Netpicks Flicks of the Week because now we can't get sued by saying Netflix. Fuck flicks. anybody want to give
it
a whirl?
I do.
BK's
I'm
eager.
Very excited.
I know what
you're
going to say.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm obviously, those of you all that listen know that I'm a big fan of South Park, Mr. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And just recently, coming on Netflix, is a little, I guess you could call it a documentary. It's kind of just like a behind-the-scenes type film, I guess. It's a little under an hour. But it's called 6 Days to Air, which is actually how many days it takes for Trey Parker and Matt Stone from scratch, from nothing, to make a South Park episode ready to air. And they show their, you know, behind the scenes, like the writing room and, you know, the process that they go through for. And I mean, it looks stressful. They look like they just put their bodies under so much stress and they get, like, no sleep. And, like, how a show comes together. And then seeing the art happen when they do the voices. And I mean, most of the voices are pretty much done by Matt and Trey. And there's a couple other friendly faces in there. I don't want to spoil it for you, but you'll see a few folks that you'll recognize. Check it out. If you're a South Park fan, you kind of want to see the behind the scenes. It was real enjoyable. It's, like I said, it's right under an hour. So it's a quick watch, but it's fun. It's good times. Gotta love South Park.
You say they're working really hard to create that. It must be really tough work
to draw really crappy art and get paid millions of dollars to do that.
Well, I mean, it's for the fans. I mean, we don't really care. It's kind of like, as a video gamer, I don't really care much about graphics as I do fun factor. And the show's great.
How many seasons have they had? Like 15?
Absolutely.
15?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to run out of something to, you know, to write about. So, yeah, it does kind of have a hardness to it, I guess.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not giving the show any shit. I was just, you know. It would be awesome to have their jobs.
Yeah,
and I was just commenting on you say working hard. It is really tough no matter what you do in TV or movies. You're always working hard and you bust your ass.
Well,
and,
you know, the thing about compensated for it is like South Park's known for going like pushing the limits. You know, whether it's, you know, content or they're making fun of a certain political figure or a celebrity. And, you know, they even talk about that a little bit, how they just don't care about a lot of celebrities out
there.
It's
funny.
And they make fun of them, and, you know, they don't care at all. But the 6 days, I mean, when you see what they go through to make the show, I mean, the little amount of sleep they get, even the crew themselves are, you know, they're pretty much 6 days straight making the episode. Because they went from, like, you know, 2 weeks down to like 12 days to 10, and they just got it to where they just know. But they're literally still making it like 2-3 hours before it airs. They're still like putting the final touches on it, and they hand deliver it down to Comedy Central for them to air it. I mean, it's like 20 minutes away and they're handing it to them. So I mean, it's just kind of a neat like behind the scenes. So check it out, South Park fans. 6 days to air on Netflix.
Sounds great for any hardcore South Park fan out there. Aaron Williams, Fatty.
Fatty.
He'd really enjoy that. But
James Irwin.
We got to see if he listens to the Man vs. Film podcast.
We'll Alan
see if
Burton.
Alan Arthur?
Alan Arthur.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Lanning.
Lanning.
So, Josh, Lumber. You got anything? You been watching any Netflix lately?
I've kind of been slow on the net picks because I've been watching a lot of Batman lately, and unfortunately all their Batman is off besides some cartoons, like Justice League cartoons. So I kind of went an all-time 90s favorite comedy. Two legendary actors together. They've done many, many films together, like Pryor and
Grumpy Old Men.
Like Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, it is Grumpy Old Men.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, I called it.
Good
nice.
Job. Yeah. The wisecracks between Sweet. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon over the beautiful... I forgot her name. Anne Margaret. Sorry. Anne Margaret. Still Woo-hoo. Sexy at 60 in the damn movie. Good supporting cast. Daryl Hannah was in there. God, what's that other guy's name? I'm just forgetting everybody's name right now. He was in Usual Suspects. He has a Christopher Walken impression. Kevin Pollak.
There you go.
Yeah, Kevin Pollak's in there too. I'm sorry. Shooter McGavin's in there as well. So
yeah.
And the great Burgess Meredith. So check out Grumpy Old Man. Great, great, funny ass movie.
Sorry, I would have tried to help you think of who you were talking about, but I just was really tuning out. I couldn't even remember what movie you were talking about.
Well, you know what?
I was
up your ass,
I wasn't
too,
listening,
man.
To shit.
Up your nose with the rubber hose, you son of a bitch.
Sorry, I'll leave you with getting to ignore me while I talk about the movie I watched.
What?
What? I don't know.
What?
Okay.
What?
What?
So I'm gonna kind of break the rules here, I just got a new cable service, AT&T UVerse, and I switched from the Time Warner owned Insight Communications. So I just got new cable and internet, and my internet is not working with my Netflix currently. But since I got UVerse, I now have Showtime, and so I watched something on Showtime. So until Netflix pays us a bunch of money to talk about them and promote them, I'm going to boycott when I feel like it. And on Showtime, I watched
That's not good
a
for
movie
business.
That came out last year in 2011, which was up for a few awards, starring Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Moneyball. Moneyball is about Billy Beane, the general manager of the Oakland A's, who's tries to put together a team based on with a low budget, as you know how it goes. We were just talking about the Pirates and how good they were and how they haven't been this good in 19 years. They haven't made the playoffs in 19 years. And, you know, it's because they're a small market team, as the Oakland A's are. And you have to put together a team on $40 million, where the Yankees can put together a team at $120 million. So this movie is all about that premise and just, like, general managers behind the scene focusing on Billy Beane's career.
Wait, was he the guy who gave Jason Giambi steroids? That's what I want to know.
No.
Okay.
I'm good with it then. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You know, I could be wrong. I don't think a general manager's handing out steroids. He was offered, after his successful season, he was offered to be the highest paid GM in all of baseball of all time to go to the Red Sox, and he turned it down. And they wound up hiring the kid who's now with
Theo Epstein
a year later, and they won the World Series.
Yeah.
So
they won two.
Who would have known that what would have happened if Billy Beane had gone, if they would have still won any World Series, if the curse would have followed him.
Yeah.
But in the movie, he picks up Jonah Hill from the Cleveland Indians. He actually buys him from the Cleveland Indians. And I'm not sure if this is part of the real story or not, if Billy Beane himself actually brought someone from the Indians or another ball club to help him figure out that if he replaced one guy in Jason Giambi who averaged an on-base percentage of a specific amount, and you divided that number by three guys who are unknown, and it would equal the same number, then you're getting the same production. And it's all based on the on-base percentage, that being the funniest.
The funniest twat on the world.
I looked at Jim Gaffigan on the screen and just said funniest. But that being the
appropriate.
Okay, the on-base percentage is the prime number behind the success of a team. So Jonah Hill's awesome. It's fat Jonah Hill. You know, you get your fat Jonah Hill, your skinny Jonah Hill.
I like them both.
Yeah, he was fat Jonah Hill in this movie.
The sitter was really funny.
Hey, yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Method Man was in that.
Dude. He prefers the term chubby.
He was.
Yeah.
The opening scene.
Philip Seymour Hoffman plays Art Howe, the general manager. Does an awesome job. A guy I don't really like too much, who could be on someone's, probably not here, but you know, if you were to go to top actors who deserve a jump to the next step, this guy Chris Pratt from The Office, not from The Office, from Parks and Recreation, could be mentioned, but I don't think he's that funny. I think he's pretty bad. But he was in this movie.
You're not going to that early, are you?
Huh?
Your actors?
Oh, what?
What?
Dude, I don't even think we mentioned that. In this episode, we'll be talking about our top three actors or actresses who should be getting bigger roles or who are about to take the next step. Or who need to take the next step. Sorry, we forgot to mention that. But Moneyball, I watched it. It was good. Worth the awards. Good dialogue. It was written partially by Aaron Sorkin, which is cool. Directed by Bennett Miller. I don't really know who that is. but he directed it.
Didn't Aaron Sorkin and Ari Gold not get along?
Aaron Sorkin did not like Ari Gold in Entourage.
I didn't think so.
He worked for... He joined their agency anyway because of Andrew Miller.
Yes.
Wait, not Miller. I don't think it was Miller. It was Miller Gold.
Well, it was Gary Cole, right? That guy, Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah, he fucked up real bad.
How did he fuck up really bad? Oh, in Entourage.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant in real life.
No.
Yeah, he fucked up really bad and drove his car through his own living room to get in.
Yeah.
Because his wife locked him out of the house.
Yeah,
he was cheating.
He was banging that girl. What's her name? Jamie Gertz.
Lizzie.
Nice.
Was her name on the show. So, anyway, back to Moneyball. It was good. Watch it. Sorry. That was long.
Taylor, you got one?
Yes, I do. I recently watched it today. It was Jim Gaffigan's new stand-up called Mr. Universe.
Yes!
And it is fucking amazing.
The albino of comedy.
Oh, shake your hand, my friend. That was my pick like a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, recently released in 2012. He talks everything from Disney to overweight whales and McDonald's and being a parent and
having a newborn,
struggles of all that and how McDonald's is fucking terrible for you because they don't even know where the meat comes from. I definitely recommend this if you are a comedy fanatic. You know, Dane Cook's one thing, but then you go to Jim Gaffigan.
Dane Cook sucks.
Totally different.
Yeah, I think Philip Seymour Hoffman and Jim Gaffigan are like distant cousins or something.
they gotta be. They gotta be.
They look an awful lot alike.
But I definitely recommend that. Very hilarious. Not going to give out too many jokes, but definitely go and see it. Awesome.
Very nice. Jim Gaffigan. And just to wrap up this portion of Netflix Flicks of the Week, we're going to let you know what's new on Netflix. Rampart with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, that looked... Yes, I definitely want to see that.
And you know what I've been doing? Check to see Rampart streaming. I check a certain site that shows which the new Netflix movies are. And I'm not 100% that the ones we're naming are actually all streaming. Or if they're just... It's got to be streaming, though. Because you can get almost any movie on Netflix. So...
Well, new releases have to wait 28 days after they're released to get on Netflix.
Their release in the theater or release on DVD?
On DVD.
Oh, okay.
Well, or Blu-ray, whatever you want to say.
Well, now, you know, Netflix has done a great job of just throwing every movie that's released 28 days later on Netflix. Well, I guess
No, they have certain deals with certain studios that they can do.
Well, in the DVD portion, they do, for the most part. It's almost that everything's available. But make more streaming. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Did you see if Rampart was on instant stream?
I can check for you.
Okay. I just asked you to do that.
I was looking at Breaking Bad Season 4. Yeah,
BK, this is a show of not paying attention. Me not paying to Josh, BK not paying attention to me. But also, you got Breaking Bad Season 4, as he mentioned.
Dude, that's straight on my freaking Ed Mama Q right now.
BK just put Rampart on his Q.
2.5 stars. What's that? What is that?
I don't care.
It's got Ice Cube in it.
Woody Harrelson, I'll watch anything.
Ned Beatty.
And it's got Ben Foster in it.
Yes!
Ned Beatty went to Eastern High School, which is where we all went
class.
To. Yep, where we all went to school. Boom, in high school.
There's the rest of your cast.
Okay, so Breaking Bad is also available Season 4. So for any of you who need to watch Season 5...
BK. Season 4.
Who need to get started, start DVRing Season 5. Watch Season 4 on Netflix, and then go back and catch up in time for the end of the season. One of our good friends over here at Man vs. Film, we wish, Kevin Hart has a...
No. He is our good friend.
Oh.
There's no wishing about it. He's a good friend of ours.
Do you actually know him?
Yes.
You do?
He liked their Facebook, didn't he?
Really?
Yeah. Of course he did.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was at my birthday party.
We hung out with him that one time. Yeah, over Kiki's.
No, God,
Chi-Chi's?
Just continue.
Okay, Kevin Hart has a I don't even know what this is. It's looks like stand up. I guess it's a stand up performance called Laugh at My Pain. You can also watch Ronin with Robert De Niro, which is a movie I've always wanted to see.
Jean Reno.
I'm gonna knock it off my list here soon. Also, you can catch Friday the 13th. Jason Voorhees.
Which one?
The original.
Oh, good.
I'm going to need you hook it up for
Kevin Bacon's in
on
that
the
one.
House.
The original's not my favorite. Gotta say, you know.
I like the first two, maybe like 7. The one before Jason Takes Manhattan, that was a good one.
Dude, Jason Takes Manhattan, I think, is my favorite.
Yeah,
it's probably like, in like a cheesy kind of way.
That's awful.
It's
a fun one.
It's a fun one.
We're talking about Jason Voorhees,
when he punches that dude's head off.
Yeah, that's the best.
No.
And when he stabs that girl with the guitar or whatever.
Oh yeah, with a flying V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About Jason X? Even though that was terrible.
Stop putting your phone on the table.
Yeah, Jason X, when he puts the girl's face. Oh, what is that? What does he put her face in?
There you go, Chris.
His crotch.
And it freezes and he...
BK playing the clip.
The boxer.
Where the boxer gets his head knocked off.
I think his name is Julius.
It is Julius.
Yeah, I know.
But Friday the 13th is streaming.
a movie that we missed a couple weeks ago when we did our new game we played. One of the Tom Hanks movies, A League of Their Own, now streaming instantly on Netflix.
Great
as well
movie.
As another Tom Hanks movie, Sleepless in Seattle.
Never saw it. I'm not going to see it.
I just have to say, Jason Voorhees scared the shit out of me when I was a little kid. He scared me more than Freddy. Well, I mean, just freaked me out.
Not Candyman.
Well, Candyman was up there, too, but that was a whole other story.
Candyman was a pussy compared to Jason.
Like, Jason Voorhees made my stomach hurt. Like, I was watching it, and I remember being so scared, like, my stomach hurt. This guy's giving it to Jason, though.
Take it. Take it like a man. He does. Like a dead man.
He's a professional boxer or semi-pro or something.
I mean, he knocks him back, like, this entire building.
Sure looks like a professional
he's
boxer.
He's tired. He's falling.
Falling down every time.
Jason's kind of like, what, dude? What? You're hitting me. Whatever.
Well, and just to wrap this up, there's a, for you documentary fans, there's a Woody Allen documentary now streaming on Netflix, and a new documentary called Gasland, award-winning documentary. So you can check those out. That's it for your nitpicks, flicks of the week.
Nitpicks, flicks of the week.
Nitpicks, flicks of the week.
I haven't sang that in a while.
You
I
haven't.
Apologize.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to you guys and do a top three actors who deserve, you know, to step it up.
Yeah, I'm going to preach for my people.
Who need to step it up.
My actors deserve bigger roles, and Hollywood will be better for that.
Yeah.
And so will we.
We will. We'll be more happy because we'll see the people who we like. Or maybe don't like. I don't know.
No, I'm going to like all these people.
Of course you are.
Okay. I can dig it.
I got a wedgie. Can you dig it?
Be right back.
Uh-huh. Say hey.
What's up, guys? This is Chris from Man vs. Film Podcast, which you're listening to now. We just want to thank you very much for tuning in and listening to our podcast and listening to Kings of Leon with us when they were good. You know, before they sold out and became just some, you know, Caleb's a fucking drunkard asshole, cancels tours because he gets too drunk and plays shitty music. Anyway, thanks for all your interaction, our Google Voice number, and our Facebook page. We're not really going to plug anything. We're just here to say thanks this week for supporting us and liking us. And you can share us with a friend if you want. That's it. That's all I'm going to plug. That's all I'm going to ask. But thanks. Aha! Shake! Man vs. Fam and your fucking face. What's up, guys? Welcome back. Thank you all very much for tuning in and listening, hanging out with us even beyond the break.
Absolutely. And Chris, Josh, if I may, let's just jump right into it. Everybody wants to hear top actors you think should get more work. Chris, what you got, man?
I took my list. My list isn't filled with a lot of young guns. It's filled with guys who are already prominent. Some of them you might say are very prominent, but there's still a next level that they can go to. They've already reached, you know, a certain amount of success. So I'll start with my number three. I didn't have these in any specific order, so I'm just picking one out of the crowd right now. And that is, you've seen him all over the place. He's got tons of roles, but
who is he?
Not too many are starring roles, except for TV. But that is, oh man, one of the best number two, number three actors in a movie of all time, Mr. Steve Buscemi.
Hey. Oh, okay.
I mean, okay. Talk about this man. Talk about range.
On air,
this guy has got range for days. You know, he can play in comedies like he does, you know, in Billy Madison and The Big Lebowski and Fargo. You know, he can play
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, of course. Reservoir Dogs. He's great in The Sopranos. He's got Boardwalk Empire. He finally got a little love in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Nucky Thompson.
TV
Terrific.
Series. But I want to see and may, you know, and maybe he's the kind of actor who's meant to be that second role because he just plays
so
well.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give him his due.
He's the type of guy that he'll make your movie better.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
My number two, this is probably one that's very questionable because you could say, oh, this guy's already at the top of his game.
Well, this guy's already at the top of his game.
And that's Robert Downey Jr. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Iron Man.
Agreed.
He's in.
Absolutely.
Dude, agreed.
Okay, he's in Iron Man, one of the biggest grossing, movie we've seen this year. He's got, you know, roles like Sherlock Holmes, and, you know, he's an Iron Man. but, you know, he's still got room to. Has he ever won an Oscar?
Nope.
Aha!
He was nominated for Chaplin.
He still has room to get into that George Clooney, Brad Pitt, you know, Tom Hanks type of role and just really get that drama.
I think he did good in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, how long?
He was nominated for that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he still doesn't have that certain kind of movie under
his
belt.
Just because you didn't win an Oscar.
I'm just saying, he's got room for improvement, right?
I think he's come a long way.
If you look at it that way, yes. But, I mean, he's come
Avengers?
A hell of a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me...
Early on success, and then he got messed up with drugs and all that kind of stuff, and then he came back.
Absolutely.
And whooped some ass.
Two of the biggest franchises of the last 5 to 10 years.
Okay, he was stuck in a franchise. Tell me the...
That's A-list, man. A-list, dude.
I didn't say he wasn't A-list. I said he could take a step up and take bigger roles. And I said this is kind of controversial because he's had some of the He's had some of the biggest roles you can get, but I'm ready to see him do more. That's all I'm saying. That's what this whole list is about seeing these certain guys do more. Sure, you can put him in a suit and have him play a superhero. Tell me the movie that he has done that just, you know, think of something like a drama which has...
Zodiac.
The soloist.
Zodiac, it's not going to just blow you away. All I'm saying is there's more room for Robert Downey Jr. to grow. And I think he will. And you'll see better stuff from Robert Downey Jr.
At the same time, it's not his fault that he didn't win an Oscar.
I'm not saying that it is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying...
I mean, if he wasn't up against Tom Hanks or for Chaplin, he probably would have won.
So
who knows?
So maybe he, you know, needs to put on a better performance.
I do kind of agree with you, Chris.
Tom Hanks
could use
prime.
some improvement, but I think he's come a long way from what he was.
He's awesome, man. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him.
He's definitely
but
a hell of
he's
an actor.
Got the potential to rise up and be the next George Clooney, Brad
Absolutely.
Pitt.
He doesn't need to be. He's Robert Downey Jr. He's RDJ, for Christ's sake. No, nobody has that one. Tom Hanks doesn't have it. Clooney doesn't have it. RDJ. That's all you gotta say.
I mean, he could even surpass them. I just want to see him in a good, solid, dramatic role that's got a little comedy in it, and see him just really take home a script. Like, really, like, fucking punch you in the face with something. I mean, not just...
Want him to Tyler Durden me.
Well, that's been quite a long time talking about my number two, but it sparked a good argument, good debate. My number one is on kind of a lighter note. Love this guy and everything he's in. I've seen him in pretty much. He got his start. Well, I wouldn't say he got his start. He got his start. Let's see. He's in Arrested Development. He was in a lot of stuff, but he really caught your attention in The Office, and then he started to get more major roles, and that is Ed Helms. Could be one of the best comedic actors we've got. Fucking killed it in The Hangover. And he's been in a lot of these like movies that are kind of under the radar, getting like very limited releases. Let's see what we have.
He was in one of my Netflix picks of the week to avoid a couple weeks ago.
In what movie?
The movie was called The High Road, I believe.
Okay.
And actually, our good friend Ryan Miles knows the guy who directed that movie and started that movie.
Really?
Yeah, he told me this.
But yeah, he was in it. He played. Actually, I can't remember because I turned it off. But he was in the movie. He was in the movie, and actually, he's rumored, according to the Man vs. Film Facebook page.
Yeah, this is gonna be awesome.
He is rumored to play a grown-up Rusty Griswold
in a new Vacation movie.
Yeah, kind of like. Oh, yeah. A reboot, maybe, or continuing.
No, it's a prequel, or it's a.
It can't be a prequel.
It's not a prequel.
No,
it's. I mean, it's later down the road.
Yes,
it's not a remake. It's like Rusty Griswold as an adult.
And reimagining.
Now, yeah,
maybe they'll start the whole thing over with Rusty Griswold and his family.
That's what it is.
Who knows?
That might.
No,
be,
that is what it is.
The plot summary is.
No, I'm talking about the whole series.
Oh, okay. And kind of redo the like Vacation, then do a Christmas.
Yeah,
okay.
And then European.
Oh, I'd love that.
Vegas, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'd love to see that. But like Ed Helms, he's not getting. I don't think he's getting any like you know leading roles in these comedies. I mean, he's a good dramatic actor too. He can. He's like Steve Carell in that way, where he's kind of like a chameleon. He goes back and forth. But like he's put out some movies like Jeff Who Lives at Home.
I want to see that so bad with Jason Segel, right?
Yeah, Jason Segel, and it's just very limited release. I think you can get it on iTunes right now already. He also, I believe he was in that John C. Reilly movie about, crap, I can't think of the name of it.
It wasn't about crap.
It was about poop.
Well, Cedar Rapids?
Cedar Rapids, yeah.
Okay.
So another like
I heard great things about that movie.
Yeah, another like just limited release, didn't get a wide release. So I'm ready to see Ed Helms do some more.
I agree with you. I think he's great in the Hangover movies. He brings that balance to him, and
yeah,
he should. I mean, just kind of like John Krasinski a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's one of the prominent characters in The Office, he might deserve
he's still a tweener.
A little rocket.
Yeah,
he's a rocket launch.
He's still a tweener. He's not the lead guy, but he's a good balance guy. Kind of like Steve Buscemi is, but
yeah, absolutely.
I think Ed Helms can do more. So, there you go.
And he will.
I'm ready for your list.
He will do more. But, mine?
Yeah.
I'll have a list. I have a list. My number three is... It was going to be tied into Taylor's Scott Cullen, but I changed it at the last second.
Okay.
I didn't want any crossover, brother, so I'm just going to take this and go with it. For the longest time, I didn't know how the hell to pronounce this guy's name, so I finally looked it up. And his first name is pronounced Chu Itel Ejiofor. That's his whole name.
What?
Chu Itel Ejiofor.
Ooh, okay.
He was in Four Brothers. He was the bad guy in Four Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
He was in Dirty Pretty Things. He was in 2012. But the role that made me take notice, he played, I don't want to say sidekick, but there was a movie about 4 years ago called Talk to Me that starred Don Cheadle. And Chiwetel Ejiofor played his radio manager. And he just stole the whole movie. I don't want to say he's a chameleon because he hasn't played in a lot of comedies, but he strikes me as one of those guys that can just do anything at any time, right on spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Get a script and
he's
just
the type
adapt.
Of guy that if his favorite basketball team was in the playoffs, right? He's the type of guy that could do an emotional scene, crying, turn it off, watch... the basketball game for 5 minutes, come back on, hit action, and hit it right back. That's the kind of guy he is. You know,
he's a hell of a guy.
Every time he's in the movie,
he was good in Four Brothers. He was great in Four Brothers.
Absolutely.
Good bad
absolutely.
Guy, definitely.
Yeah. My second would have to be Mr. Ray Winstone. You guys know him as Mr. French from The Departed. He's also in Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson. He played the lead role in Beowulf.
Okay, okay.
He played the lead in a small independent London movie called 44 Inch Chest. The big burly guy, great beard, an English actor who...
great beard.
Yeah, he brings the chops wherever he goes. He plays the tough guy, the dramatic guy, the emotional guy. He can do it all. Another solid actor that you add him to any cast, any movie, he will make it better immediately. My number one, excuse me. Actually, he was on The Wire. Have y'all ever seen The Wire?
No, I've wanted to watch it and look for it on Netflix like all the time. See if they put
yeah,
it on
the
it.
Great HBO show The Wire. I've seen a couple of episodes from it. It was really, really good, really dark and gritty, kind of like the Batman world without the bat, you know? Really dark and gritty and everything. His name is Dominic West. He was also in 300. He was in The Forgotten. He was in Centurion, my Netflix pick of the week last week. He's just a guy who knows what he is. He doesn't try to do too much. If you give him a role, he'll play it to a T. He knows how to take that role player and make it his own. You know, no matter if it's 10 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes in the movie, he's going to make it his own. He's going to play to the movie's strengths and make it the best character he can be. Dominic West, that's my number one. Not to say he needs to be the top bill in an action movie or a movie at all, but he needs to be right up there because he's one hell of an actor.
He needs to take the next step.
Absolutely.
Even if that's to a, you know, supporting guy. Because he seems like he's not quite...
I
want
to see his name on a poster.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Not be like six or...
Not at the bottom of the poster, but at the top of the poster.
Exactly.
Dominic West. You know, with... yeah. Dominic West, Ray Winstone, and Chiwetel Ejiofor
on the poster. With Samuel
Jackson. Yeah.
Maybe they
guest
like,
starring Samuel Jackson. That's what I want to see. That's my movie.
There it is. Maybe you'll get it.
It'd be a hell of a movie. Come up with the plot. All right. Well, there you go. There's our top three actors who need to take the next step. It's time to play some games. And we're going to roll out a brand new game for you guys. As Taylor, BK, and Josh all clap. So this is Name That Movie, similar to Name That Tune. And what BK has done, he's gone on IMDb and picked out a handful of movies in which he will read a portion of the description of the movie. He can blank out any word he wants to keep from giving too many obvious clues. And he's also going to tag the movie with like a genre type. So he's going to give us a title and a description. We're going to decide how many movies or how many actors we can name that movie in. One of us will start. We'll challenge each other. We'll get points. It'll be awesome.
I'm going to win.
You'll get it as we go. So, BK, let us have the first movie.
All right. The first movie category would be... I'm trying to name this well. I would just say teenage comedy.
Okay.
And the description with my blanks is multi-character teenage comedy. How about that? About high school graduates with blank of life on graduation night.
Okay.
Nice. I like it.
All right. From a previous flip of the coin earlier, I won, so I get to go first. I can name that movie in 10 actors.
Can name it in 9.
Ooh, I can name that movie in 8 actors.
Can name it in 7.
Name that movie.
I will.
Now we list the names from the bottom of the IMDb page. So BK, give us that list.
Bring it.
Okay.
7, right?
7.
All right.
Good luck. It's Brian Hall, Jay Paulson, Joel Michaeli, I don't believe that's how you say it, Freddie Rodriguez, Sean Patrick Thomas, that rang a bell, Conan Rowe, one more?
Yeah.
Eric Palladino.
Can you read the synopsis again, please? Synopsis?
Yes, I will. Multi-character teenage comedy about high school graduate with blank of life on graduation night. That blank could be a couple words, by the way.
I can't hardly wait.
Hang on.
Oh, very nice.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow.
There you go.
Very nice.
Thanks.
I got the stopwatch ready, so.
Okay, so we're going to go with the timer there.
In that movie, he goes, Amanda, I don't know if you remember, but in 7th grade, we were at the sock hop, and we were dancing together, and I had this huge boner.
one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I love that movie, dude. That was the first movie coming to my mind when I was...
Third Eye Blind, man. That's a good soundtrack, right?
Seth Green.
Yep.
Oh, man, good stuff.
Jerry O'Connell.
All right. So, Chris, you got the first, I guess, I can name that, and however many actors. So, I guess, Josh, now it's your turn to start it all off. This one is, I would call it a suspense thriller.
All right. Giddy up.
Okay. This one, I have to blank out a little bit extra here. Blank finds himself trapped in blank by a sniper rifle.
I can name that in 5 actors.
I can name that in 1 actor.
So, what is, can you go
I can
to,
name that in half an
can
actor.
Can you go to 0?
Well, name it, motherfucker.
Phone booth.
You didn't even take the 1, and you got it.
Aw, dude.
Shit! I didn't even take the actor. I got it in 0.
Yeah.
It's just a description.
Yeah, I was going to say 0, but...
Yeah.
Oh, poop.
Well, that's 1-1.
Oh, poop.
Our 4th shit reference of the podcast.
1-1. All right. Next description.
Or
next categories.
I'll just say war.
Okay.
Oh.
Josh is going to get this one.
I don't see war movies. I got to be careful.
Except what is it good for? Valor.
Okay, I have to be careful on the blanks here. A group of U.S. soldiers go behind enemy lines to blank. I'm going to leave it at that because the last part's way too obvious.
Can you repeat that, please?
A group of U.S. soldiers go behind enemy lines. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I can name that in 9 actors.
I can name that in 4.
Oh, Taylor's chiming in.
I can name it in 3.
Ooh.
I can name it in...
Wait, it's my turn.
Too bad.
Name that movie. Oh, wait, this is only a 2-person game because we can't...
Yeah, you can't go 3-way, unfortunately, on this one. So you may have to start it over because Taylor dropped this.
My bad.
That's okay. Josh said he can name it in 3.
No, I can't. I can name it.
I can't now.
Chris said 9.
Okay, now let's start over. 9.
I can name an 8.
All right.
Sorry, Callum.
Yeah, that's all good.
I can name it in 7. I
can name it in 6.
Name that movie.
Are you ready? Dylan Bruno. Max Martini. I can't even say that guy's name. There's no way.
We'll just skip him and go to the next one.
Dennis Farina.
Wait, that might help him.
Oh, that might give him the
one. That's 3 right there.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti.
Oh.
I agree.
Ted Danson. How many does he get?
Ah, 1 more.
This is the killer right here. Matt Damon.
Ah, damn.
Saving Private Ryan.
He still would have got it.
I got it after the 3rd.
Yep.
Taylor.
Yep.
Taylor could have got it.
2-1, and I have 2 left.
All right.
Okay. We'll say fantasy drama.
Okay.
And that's pretty obvious. A young boy blank.
Boy.
Well, let's say a young blank boy with unique powers shakes up his community.
Who starts this one out?
You think did the last one. Yeah. It's Josh's turn.
Oh, young boy shakes young the community with his special powers. Young blank boy.
With unique powers, shakes up his community.
Okay. I can name it in 7 actors.
I can name it in 6.
I can do it in 5.
Don't look at me.
Alright, I'm gonna can name it in 4.
Name it, brother.
Ah, dang it.
Okay, well.
Do you have any idea? Strategically.
Danette McMahon.
Okay.
Phil Hayes.
Okay.
Joe Marchman. And Chad Cox.
Oh, my God. I am glad I passed this on.
Stephen Smith. And Mark Jones.
Yeah. Jimmy Phillips.
Cliff.
Jimmy Phillips.
I think if I read all of them, you still wouldn't know.
Really?
Honestly. Man, no.
All right, so boys with his power, he shakes up his community. Ugh. Boy in his fucking powers. Fuck you.
A blank
fucking powers, man.
With unique powers, shakes up his community.
I got nothing. I can't. Yeah. I got nothing. Come on.
Name some more of the cast. Name 2 more.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
Well,
The Chronicle.
I'll give you 2 more. I don't think it's going to help much, but Esteban Powell, Ray Wise, but the one that's going to help you a little bit is Jeff Goldblum.
Powder.
Oh, my gosh.
That is correct, but...
He already got the point anyway.
He already got the point, so...
I knew it was powder from the beginning.
All right, you have 2 more.
Because I love powdered sugar.
I have 2 more.
Bring it on.
This is a sci-fi thriller.
Ooh.
Okay, scientists discover how to blank, but their test subject becomes insane. For sci-fi thriller.
I can name that movie in 10 actors.
I can name it in 9.
I can name it in 8.
I can name it in 7.
Name that movie.
Kelly Scott. Sarah Boyle. Sorry, that was weird. Jeffrey Scaparota. Jimmy F. Skaggs. Margaret Rose. Pablo Espina. I never did good in Espanol. Failed.
That's 6. You get 1 more.
Espanola.
Espinoza.
Okay. Espinoza?
Yeah, there it is. Thank you. Rona. I'm sorry. Yeah, Rona Mitra.
That's
is
it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. May not have.
Can you read the synopsis again?
Yeah. Scientists discover how to make blank. But their test subject becomes insane.
Any guesses?
Tick tock.
What is Rona Mitra? Rona Mitra.
Rona Mitra.
Chris, how are we doing on time?
Yeah, I didn't really hit the buzzer, so
okay.
How about 5 seconds?
Sounds about right.
I'm gonna go for
3.
Deep Blue Sea.
Fuck. Point belongs to me.
Chris got it. You wanna take a stab at it, Chris?
Wait a minute.
No.
I'm another actor.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Great movie.
Taylor?
Go ahead.
Want to help him out?
It's over.
Want to help him out?
It is... I can't think of the movie.
Hold on,
man.
Stir of Echoes.
Hollow Man. Yeah,
oh, damn.
I couldn't think of the name.
Damn it.
Hollow Man. I was going to give you the whole movie in 10 seconds.
Damn it. What's the score? I'm completely lost.
It's 2-2.
It's, oh, I thought it was 3-2.
3-2.
And you only have one more, right?
We're at 6. This will be the last
one. I can only tie.
Oh, then we'll have a tiebreaker.
And then we'll get to listen to Gold Dust. We listen to Gold Dust if we tie. How about that?
All right. Here, this one is... Oh, man. I don't even want to give you a category because it's kind of easy. we'll just call it adventure.
Okay.
A cowboy, blank, is profoundly threatened. And then I'm going to skim to the end here. I can't even read the rest. It'll just give it straight away.
That's all right. How many actors can you name that movie in, Josh?
Okay, a cowboy, blank, is profoundly threatened and jealous when a new... And that's all I'm saying.
When a new blank rides into town.
I can name it 9 actors.
I can name it 8 actresses.
Actresses.
I can name it in 7 actresses.
For the tie.
I can name it in 6.
I can name it in 5.
Name it, buddy.
Oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble.
Yes, you are.
Oh man, I don't think it's going to help you much. Spencer Astey. Jack Angel. Penn Gillette.
Penn Gillette.
So thank you.
Asshole.
Sorry.
Not you, Penn Gillette.
That's Penn.
Fuck yeah. Penn Gillette.
And what'd you say, 4?
Yeah, one more.
Sarah Freeman. That's your last
one. I have no fucking idea.
What cowboy movie is Penn Jillette in?
He's going down deep onto the cast.
No, it's really not. It's
I mean,
see.
Penn Jillette, you know, I guess, you know.
There's 15. I named you, you know, 16 through 20. Or did I say 15? My bad. I named you 11 through 15.
Whoa, are you looking on your phone there, buddy?
I already told you I didn't know who it was.
Uh-oh.
Like 5 minutes ago.
Twisted the guesses. Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Does that help you?
Helps me.
Oh, Sean Wallace?
No.
Wallace Shawn?
That's a actor's name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Wallace Shawn.
Jim Varney? Don Rickles, Tim Allen, Tom Hanks.
Oh my, get the fuck out of here.
It's Toy Story.
Yeah, man.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh, okay.
That was a good one.
Ben and
so
Teller.
Since Chris actually tied you, that means it's Gold Dust time.
Sweet.
Woo!
That makes me feel better. We tied on the very
Gold
first.
Dust.
Name that movie. Name that film. I don't know. I feel like film won there over
film
man because we tied. I think film beat us.
I would agree.
So in defeat, this is where we must say goodbye, and parting is such sweet sorrow.
I hate it.
Josh has a tear in his beer, and he's crying for you, dear. You are on his lonely mind. Thank you guys very much. You could have left the Gold Dust rolling. We could listen to Gold Dust on the way out. Or Kings of Leon. Maybe in post you can just leave Gold Dust. It's up to you. Surprise us.
Okay.
So, saying goodbye to either Gold Dust music continuing or Kings of Leon music coming in and interrupting the Intercontinental Champion. 3-time Intercontinental Champion. For BK Behind the Glass, Josh Lauber, I'm Chris King. Thank you for Taylor Satterly.
Kelm.
Just call him Kelm. Mr. Kelm, for sitting in. I am Chris King. We'll see you on the flip side on the Manverse podcast. Until then,
stay on the other side of the pillow
where it's nice and cool. Play up. Wait for it. Wait for it. You're almost there. Okay.
What's up, Man vs. Filmers? This is show producer BK hanging out with you after the show. We just wanted to, again, just take a moment to send our condolences, our thoughts, and our prayers to the families affected and all the community in Aurora, Colorado. Our thoughts and prayers are with you all. Also, Man vs. Filmers, don't forget, next week we have another episode coming to you just like we do every week. And this episode's a little special for you because we're actually going to let you pick what we're going to discuss next week. That's right, fans. Get interactive with Man vs. Film. Tell us what you want us to talk about next week by visiting our Facebook page. Take the poll. We'll have a poll up tonight, Tuesday night. Leave us a comment on our wall. Text or call our Google Voice number, 502-438-9419. Call us. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We'll have a poll up on the Facebook page tonight, so you'll be able to actually go ahead, submit what you want, take the vote, and get interactive with Man vs. Film. Yeah, we just did that. So that may even be an upcoming thing. Maybe it's a one-time thing. We don't know. But it's going to be up to you this week. So give us a call, shoot us a text, write on our wall, write on our Twitter. Did you know we had one? It's Man vs. Film Podcast. Do it. Tweet us. Write on our wall. Take our poll. Do it all. We are here for you. Thanks again, Man vs. Filmers. We thank you and we love you. Stay on the other side of the pillow. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.